This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
We'd like to welcome you to DMCC On Air. Lovely to have you here on our show. We've got a special guest in the studio with us. It's Eric Stevenson, and he's from the UK. Eric, tell us about where you're from.
I'm from Middlesbrough, which used to be Yorkshire and Indiana, and is now Middlesbrough in Cleveland.
You're telling me where you're from is quite an industrial area. In the UK.
Yes, Pete, very much so. It was heavily, must have been six or seven steel producing companies and several big ICI chemical works there. The place was all factories and very much so during the war the Germans attempted to bomb all this because it was very vital to the British war effort.
Okay, yeah. And so just before we had this interview, started this interview, Eric was telling me his family were quite heavily involved in the steel industry and you didn't want to be part of that.
That's correct, Peter.
So you ended up in the Merchant Navy.
That's right. Yes, I did.
So when did you join the Navy?
Well, I was actually 16 years of age. I was just 1 year out of school and pestered my mother terribly to go to sea, which she never wanted me to do, but she eventually relented, and I sailed on my first vessel in 1955, I think it was.
Right, okay. And when did you first come to New Zealand?
I first came to New Zealand in 1958 on a ship. It was a brand new vessel built in my hometown called the MV Araluen. And it was a maiden voyage. It was a brand new ship.
Wow.
The name of the voyage was a man's run. It meant Montreal, Australia, New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
The reason for that was the voyage was leave my home port, around the top of Scotland, across the Atlantic to the St. Lawrence in Canada, loading five ports up the St. Lawrence, Quebec, Montreal, all those places, down the east coast of America, various ports, loading general cargo till the last port was Savannah in Georgia, which is very interesting, where we loaded 13 prize bulls for Auckland.
For Auckland.
Which had been trucked from Denver to Georgia and loaded onto the vessel for Auckland.
Wow, and that's the very first live import, wasn't it?
It was. Since the war.
Yeah, right. Wow, what an accomplishment. And so where did you come to when you first arrived in New Zealand with that live import of bulls?
Actually, Auckland. You didn't have a roll-on, roll-off loading then. We actually docked alongside the quay, the bottom of Queen Street.
Oh, yeah.
With our 13 bulls on deck.
Well.
And a cowboy who sailed with them. So it was a very interesting sight. Half of Auckland were there trying to get a glimpse of these animals. But we offloaded them onto barges where they went across to some of the islands in Auckland Harbour for quarantine.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So that would be very interesting to a lot of New Zealand people.
Yeah. And also, being a sailor or a maritime person, you would have attracted a lot of attention from the woman in New Zealand.
Oh, yes, but, you know, seemingly they had a reputation of going about with bad girls, but these weren't bad girls, they were all nice girls who sort of took us in hand and took us dancing and what have you, and it was a really nice experience.
Yeah.
And we met, you know, over the years, some really nice girls. But some of them I can still remember.
So back then, did you come to Dunedin?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
We did, on that vessel, we did Auckland, New Plymouth, Wellington, Lyttelton, Dunedin, and Bluff.
Oh, okay.
In New Zealand.
Yeah. And so let's move to 2010. That's when you came to New Zealand to live, wasn't it?
Yes.
And what brought you here to Dunedin?
Well, my son, he actually emigrated before us in 2004 with his wife and our grandson. He worked in the offshore industry, was an engineer, but was getting fed up with working 7 days a week and all the hours that God sent. And he was moaning to me about it. I said, well, why don't you look online and see if there's anything abroad? Go and have a change.
Yeah.
And one of the jobs that came up online was in Dunedin.
Oh, well.
Believe it or not. And when I asked him what the company was, he said, it's Hillside Engineering.
Engineering.
I knew all about it.
Wow.
And they snapped his hand off when he applied. And so he came out in 2004 with his wife and our grandson and just enjoyed every minute of it since.
That's great. Hey, we're about to play a song that Eric has chosen. And this is a song that you liked when you were a kid, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us the name of the song.
It's Sunny Side of the Street.
And the performer?
Frankie Lane.
Okay, so I hope you enjoy this. We'll join you after the song.
Grab your coat, get your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet over to Sunny Side of the Street. Can't you hear the pitter-pat? Old happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. Now I used to walk down in the shade with all those blues on parade. But now I'm not afraid, 'cause I'm a rover who has crossed over. And if I never have a cent, gonna be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. So grab your coat, get your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet over to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear on the sunny side of the street? Now I used to walk round in the shade with all those blues on parade. But now I'm not afraid, 'cause I'm a rover who has crossed over. And if I never have a cent, gonna be rich as old Mr. Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny.
Hey, folks, that was On the Sunny Side of the Street by Frankie Lane. That song was chosen by my special guest artist here in the studio, Eric Stevenson, who's from the UK. And we're talking about his, where he came from and how he ended up in Dunedin. So, Eric, welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you, Peter.
So, you know, 2025 now, you arrived here in Dunedin and 2010, we were just talking about how your son had come here in 2004 and he was working at the Hillside Engineering, which is quite a well-known and established firm here in Dunedin. So before you came to Dunedin, what were you doing in the UK?
Well, I spent 9 months in an apprenticeship as an apprentice coach builder.
Coach builder, oh, okay.
Which was, building vans and things like that, from the chassis up, and hated every minute of it. You know, it wasn't really my scene.
It's quite hard work too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm still hammering on at my mother to let me go into the Merchant Navy when she finally relented.
So what year was this? What year were we talking about?
That was 1955.
1955, yeah, right, yeah. And how long were you in the Merchant Navy for?
I was in the Merchant Navy for 6 years.
Oh, yeah. And what did you do after that?
I did various things, but ended up, I came ashore in 1960, and started to work in ICI, in a chemical plant. And the British government decided to have a last call-up of the British National Service Army. And because I'd been a merchant seaman, I was deferred and wasn't called up originally. But they called me up as I was now ashore, working ashore. And I went in the Army in 1960. For supposedly 2 years, which got extended to 2.5 years. And I was married to my first wife at that time, and she hated it. I spent, in the 2.5 years, 8 months in Kenya during the Kuwait crisis, 6 months in Cyprus, seven months in Hamelin in Germany, and that was the rest of it was in UK. So I was hardly ever at home in the whole two and a half years.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And that would have made a big impression on you, being in the Army.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I always enjoyed being away, and I was a driver anyway in the Army. But,
oh, okay,
I had a cushy job. I landed a batman's job with looking after 3 officers, which I moved around with for the whole 2.5 years.
And so I met Eric through the Otago Country Music Club, and... I see that Eric has a great love for music. Tell me about how you got into music.
Well, Peter, it's a story I think that people of my age will remember. There was dancers in the town where I lived, all over the place, little church halls up running dances on the weekend and everything. And from about the age of 11, I started going to dances. And in one particular dance, I remember it well, was called the St. James's, which was on every Friday. And they used to do a long dance called a progressive schottische, which everybody in the hall would get up and dance to. Whether you could dance or not, they all got up. Because you used to change partners, a couple of steps in, a couple of steps out.
Yeah.
And during this dance, the band used to call up people who used to sing a song or two. That's how I started singing. I think I was about 12.
Yeah.
And these are some of the songs that you're listening to that I used to do then. So I've always had a love for music.
So this next track we're going to play is a track by Johnny Ray. Tell me about Johnny Ray.
Well, Johnny Ray, people of my age will remember him. He was known as the Cry Singer.
The Cry Singer. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what year would have that been?
Pardon?
What year?
That was late 50s.
Late 50s.
Early 60s.
Early
60s,
yeah.
He was a funny guy. He used to wear an ear and ear in. He was about 6'4", and he was gay, which was very unusual in those days.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
But he used to sing all these sobbing songs, Little White Cloud That Cried, Cry. But he was a very, very well-known entertainer and much loved. He used to tour the world, you know, non-stop, really. But that was one of my great loves. I like this song.
So here it is, Johnny Ray, Cry.
If your sweetheart sends a it's no secret you feel better if you cry. When waking from a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real, but it's only false emotions that you feel. hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song. Sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your head down and go on and cry. Sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky. So let your head down and go right on, baby, and cry. You're
listening to Dunedin Multicultural Council on Air. I'm with Eric Stevenson in the studio, and that was Johnny Ray with his song called Cry. All songs have been chosen by Eric, and welcome back, Eric.
Thank you, Peter.
We were just talking about your entry into the music scene. You're telling us how you you'd go along to dances back in the early 60s, late 50s, and they'd have bands there, and everyone would get up and dance and change partners with a dance. I know that dance too. What was it called again?
Progressive Schottische.
Progressive Schottische. I remember being in one of those when I was a kid. You'd get up and sing with the bands there.
Yes, that was it. They always call us up. They knew that we like to do a little song. I mean, I was only 12 years old. And when this dance was going on, it was for about half an hour. Because everybody got a chance to dance with different girls. They used to go around in a circle. Yeah. So they would call two or three of us up to sing songs.
It's quite a great way of meeting girls too, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, Peter.
And, we were talking about the Otago Country Music Club, where I met Eric. And Eric and you and your wife, Jane, seem to be attending a lot of open mics. I mean, I see your love for singing. You attend a lot of live music events here in Dunedin.
Yeah, that's true, that, Peter. Jane and I's attitude is if we can get out and go and sing or go and watch a band or whatever, it beats sitting watching television, which you just die doing that. So we both love, if we can go out, we'll go out, and that's it. I do belong to most of the clubs locally, Silver Peaks, Target Club, Balcutha Club, the Entertainers Club, and even now and then do a karaoke when there's one on. But I just, and Jane's the same, we just like to be out.
Well, that's what kids keeping you young there, Eric, because how old are you? 80?
I'm 86 now.
86, so that's pretty cool, you know, that you're out there in the music scene here in Dunedin and, still singing and performing, which is absolutely awesome. So tell me, how do you find Dunedin living here?
Oh, I love it, Peter. I wouldn't go back to UK now if you paid me to go back.
Why is that?
I just like it there. I just like the lifestyle. Yeah. I like the people. And it's strange because when I was here in 1958, I got the same feeling that I still have now for people in New Zealand. I think it's a great country. Oh, people are great.
Yeah.
Little problems like all countries have, but basically it's a lovely place to live and bring up your family.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And what do you think you'd like? I'll say this to a lot of other people, but I mean, you being 86, I was going to say, well, where do you see your future?
Well, Peter, you laugh at this. I'll just tell you something. I'm also a bit of a robot. A few months ago, the weekend when we had the floods, I had what they call a TAVI heart valve fitted.
Oh.
Which is a new thing, and it's supposed to last for 6 to 10 years. So I'm all right if I get another one when I'm 95. And then I might go on to be 105, Peter. I've even got a certificate from America welcoming me to the TAVI Club. So it's an exclusive club. And they've given me a number and everything, which I've laughed about, but it's all real. This was all, you know, I have a club card number, and I'm now a part of the worldwide TAVI Club.
and it's great because we just had a workshop on Sunday, just gone, and I was saying to the ones there that the eldest member of the Otago Country Music Club is Jewel from Mosgiel.
Jewel. Jewel. She's 90 something.
She's 92, I think. 92.
Yeah.
93. And she's driving, she's singing, she's performing, which is absolutely awesome. And I think my mother's 85 and she's still the same. She loves to perform, she loves to sing, she plays ukulele, and she's out and about in the community all the time, always involved in things that are happening. Also, too, I've seen you down at Heff's. They have a jam session there on Sundays, don't they?
Yeah, Pete, I like all kinds of music. I like rock, I like, you know, the old stuff. But yeah. I'm supposed to do country songs, but I don't always do country songs.
No, I've seen you doing Elvis.
yeah, and Rolling Stones, you name it, Dire Straits. I have a vast liking for all kinds of music.
And do you play any instruments?
No.
Just
unfortunately not.
Yeah. Your voice is an instrument.
Yeah, so I suppose you can call it that. Some people might not agree. But yes, I just love it. It doesn't bother me. You know, people say, well, I'll get up. I don't know an hour about it. I just like to sing. It's a spice of life, I call it.
Well, it's absolutely fabulous having on our program today, Eric, and you've chosen all the songs that were played on the show today, and we're going to end up with one of your favourite performers, Dean Martin. Tell us about the song.
Well, Pete, I would have said as an entertainer, this man was the ultimate entertainer. He had it all, the looks. He was a real man. He's a champion boxer when he came to the States from Italy. He's a wonderful singer. And he was very, you know, sort of solid sort of a guy that you could relate to when he did the best songs ever.
Thanks, Eric. Have a good night, everyone. He's Dean Martin, and that's Amore.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and ella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
That's amore.
That's amore.
Now Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella, hearts will play. Like a gay tarantella.
Lucky fella.
When the stars make you true, just like pasta, pasta,
that's some more.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.